Before I read the passage, I forgot to make an announcement in my Bible class that I did want to make. I want to invite you to my class at the Creve Hall Church of Christ in the Connect Conference this Saturday at 11 o'clock. My subject, along with the other speaker, is Lead Me to Some Soul Today. We'd love to have you there. Of course, everything that the Connect Conference is going to have is going to be very helpful to you, and I want to encourage you to take advantage of it. There are some advertisements still on the back table. I can get more, too, after service. I'd like to direct your attention at this time to the reading of God's Holy Word. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with the first verse. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not ourselves. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body.
The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are read by more than a few, but the one most read and commented on, the Gospel according to you. Do men read his truth and his love in your life, or is it already filled with malice and strife? Does your life speak evil, or does it ring true? Say, what is the gospel according to you? Now you're writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the things that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what's the gospel according to you? You know, if we would all just leave here this morning and go and just meditate on that little poem by a fellow by the name of Arthur McPhee, I know you've all heard it before, I think that would be less than enough, because there's so much to think about in those three little verses that I read this morning. Have you ever heard somebody just pour out their heart to someone else, telling them what Christ has done for them in their, or have you ever done it? Have you ever just poured out your heart to someone else, telling them about the great grace that God showed by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to be the last blood sacrifice for sin, that we might have forgiveness of our sins, and through that forgiveness, the blessed hope of a home in heaven someday? Talking about David, been talking about David, reading the Psalms a lot in our Bible class on Sunday morning lately. David was a man after God's own heart, 2 Samuel. In spite of all the trouble that he caused, but he spent his life praising God. In most of the Psalms, he's praising God, and he's being sorry, he's being contrite, he's mourning for what he's done, and he's asking for forgiveness. And in Psalms chapter 66 and verse 16, he makes a call there. He says, come and hear, all you who love God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. Can I say that? Can you say that? Can you say to everyone that's within the sound of your voice, come and hear, and I will tell you what God has done for my soul? Realize it or not, we are recommending our religious beliefs and practices every day, or we're renouncing them, one or the other, through our speech, through our actions, through our attitudes, and so on and so forth. I want to pose four questions to you this morning, and I want to talk briefly about each one of these questions, and then I'll leave the lesson with you. Question number one, can you recommend your religion? And when I say religion this morning, I'm talking about a combination of our religious beliefs and our practices, doctrinal beliefs and all those, salvation and how it comes about. Can you recommend your religion in light of Scripture? Can you prove it? Simply, can you prove it? Number two, can you recommend your religion with how you live? Number three, can you recommend, or do you recommend your religion by how you support it? And number four is, do you recommend your religion by how it works for you? And I want us to think about these four questions briefly this morning, and then we'll leave the lesson with you. But the first one is, are you recommending or renouncing your religious beliefs and practices in light of Scripture? Can you prove your beliefs and practices to others? I don't mean just say, oh, the Bible says so. That's not good enough for most. You know, we need to be able to turn, and we need to be able to show people, this is why we do what we do. This is why we believe what we believe. Moreover, does God approve it? God's not going to approve of any religious belief or practice that cannot be supported by his own word. So many today cannot prove their doctrinal beliefs according to the Scriptures. They have to twist and manipulate the Scriptures in order to try to make it make sense and line up with what they're teaching, and then it doesn't make sense. Many even omit words from strategic passages to try to make it say what they needed to say in light of their teaching, and then it still doesn't make sense. Some have to say, well, Mike, that was way back there, like two millenniums ago. Surely, we're not going to be expected by God to do that today and to handle that in that way today. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, he said, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. In other words, set him apart. Set God apart in our hearts. Separate him out for a special purpose. Separate the Lord, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give a defense. We need to be able to make a defense. We need to be able to defend our religious beliefs and practices and defend them properly by the law, by the Bible. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give a defense for the hope that's in you a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. I get mixed up when I stop in the middle of a verse and have to stop and start back up. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. He said, test all things. Prove, he means. Adelito is the Greek word. It means to examine. It means to test. It means to prove something. Test all things. Hold fast what is good, he said. John writes in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. You know, if John thought there were many false prophets that had gone out into the world back in the first century, I wonder what he would think today. We can't hardly get out of sight of a street corner that doesn't have a false prophet. They're teaching something that cannot be supported by Scripture. Cannot be supported by Scripture. I heard an ad on the radio that I like to listen to Dr. Electric on Saturday sometimes when I'm in the car. It's on WTN radio. At the end of that show, though, people call in, you know, how do I put this plug in? Oh, I shocked myself. What? You know, but at the end of that show, every time there's this little two-minute segment that tells about the plan of salvation. And it says, if you want to accept Christ right now, just accept him to come into your heart and you are saved. You'll be saved. And my face just gets hot every time I see that or hear that. And I called the radio station once and found that's a part of his show. The last 2 minutes of his show on Saturday is that little statement. But that's a popular doctrine. That's a popular doctrinal belief, the idea of the sinner's prayer. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that one can attain to salvation through prayer. But rather, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned, Mark 16, 16. He's saying, John is, you can't trust anyone when it comes to your salvation. Amen? Don't trust me. I'm sure John would say, don't trust you. You go look for yourself. Don't trust anyone when it comes to your salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul said, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. And the words, the faith there, are all our doctrinal beliefs, religious beliefs and practices. Test yourselves whether you are in the faith. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study. To show yourselves approved unto God. Study the King James Version. The New King James makes it a little broader, uses the word, says, be diligent to show yourself approved unto God, which I think is a little broader. Not only do we need to study, but we also need to bear fruit in the kingdom and other things. Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. And another thing, many are involved in vain worship today, simply because they don't know the answer to the question. What is vain worship? Well, vain worship, simply put, is the incorporation of doctrinal beliefs and practices into our worship services which cannot be supported by God's Word, cannot be supported by Scripture, or someone who is just going through the motions, just going through the motions of worship, but their heart really is not in it. And Jesus spoke to this. In Matthew chapter 15, he was speaking to the Pharisees. You know that great verse, that's where he pronounced seven woes on the Pharisees. And he said, these people draw near to me with their mouths, and they honor me with their lip, but their heart is what? Far from me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And in vain they do worship me, teaching for as doctrines the commandments of men. In 2 John 9, the apostle writes, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. You know, some of these scriptures are so plain. They're so well written. They're so succinct by inspiration. And so many just miss it. That if you're believing another doctrine, another gospel, other than the one that you've been taught, you do not have God. We must be able to show that God is supporting everything we practice and teach. Can I do that? Can you do that? What about the name you wear? Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. The disciples were called Christians, first at Antioch. We are Christians. Our items, our work, forms of worship. We don't need to be deceived. We need to be sure. We need to be sure. We need to know for sure about these things. Number two, are you recommending or renouncing your religion by the way you live? Now, it kind of all comes home here, I think. Your life and religious beliefs complement one another. Actually, they cannot be separated. You know, we often speak of our secular life and our spiritual life, but aren't they one in the same? Aren't they one in the same? We go to secular jobs and we're involved in secular activities, but we're always a Christian. No matter where we go or what we're doing, we're a Christian. And we should act like we're a Christian. Christianity is not just a life of convenience, but rather a life of commitment to attain to a home in heaven someday. I have to be all in. We've got to be all in or we're not in at all. And that's what Scripture teaches us all the way through there. You are a Christian all the time. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul was writing about people who would come in the last days. He said they would be lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. The fact that these people were described with such types of sins as having a form of godliness but denying its power tells us that he's not talking about people who are outside of the church, but rather he was talking about a group and talking to a group of people who went under the name of Christ. They weren't denying the power of Christ. They were denying the power of the religious doctrine, denying the power of Christianity. Genuine Christians need to be professing Christians. Just like we started out with that little poem, what is the gospel according to me? And we are. We are writing a gospel every day by the things that we do and the words that we say. And another thing, the way that you use a thing is the greatest recommendation for that thing of any. If I go down to the Ford dealership and I purchase a shiny red F-150 pickup truck, when I drive that pickup truck off, no matter what I think, I am recommending that brand. I'm recommending that brand. And it is the same with everything else we do. We might say, hey, I drink some alcohol every once in a while, but I don't recommend it now. I smoke cigarettes, but I don't recommend that. Sometimes I use some illegal drugs, recreationally. But now I don't recommend that. Why not? We recommend it by the fact that we do it. We recommend it by the fact that we do it. Jesus said in Matthew 7:16, you will know them by their fruits. He said, you can't get grapes from bushes nor figs from thistles. You see what you get. It's what I am. The fruit that I bear, it's what I am. Our light really needs to shine. We talk about that with regard to Neely's Bend Church of Christ here. We're sitting on a little hill, and we are a beacon that shines out in this community. And we need to let our light shine. And we need to be ready always to give a defense to everyone that asks us a reason for the hope that's in us. A light does not shine just so you can see the bulb. A light shines so you can see what's in the room. The Christian shines not to glorify himself, but that others might see the good works that we do. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I think people watch us. You may not. I don't know. But I think people watch us 6 days a week to see what it might mean, the things that we do or say on the seventh day of the week. Somebody is watching you. Might be a grandson, a granddaughter. It might be a neighbor or a neighbor's kid. Someone is watching you, though, and they're thinking, boy, when I grow up, I want to be just like him. When I grow up, I want to be just like her. Someone is watching us, and we need to live our lives with that idea that someone is watching me. They're watching the things that I do. Number three, are you recommending or renouncing your religious beliefs by the way you support it? We need to spread the good news. We need to do that. We've been talking about that a lot here lately. We need to spread the good news. That is the, in our studies on Wednesday night, we were studying about one of the churches, the church at Ephesus. They had fallen from their first love. They had lost their first love. What was the first love? Was doing the first works. What were the first works? Was seeking and saving the lost, bringing lost souls to Christ. That's the first duty of the church. That's the first works, the first love of Christ. We need to spread the good word. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, the Apostle Paul said, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Why did he speak? He spoke because he believed. He says, therefore I spoke. I believe, therefore. What is it I've said? So, man, this isn't original. I got it from somebody else. But anytime you see the word therefore, you need to look and see what it's there for. And therefore means according to the previously stated things, it means. Why did he speak? Because he believed. How much time, effort, ability, influence do we invest in our religious beliefs and practices? Christianity is not in a capsule to be taken in doses. We must give attention, time, availability, resources, and yes, financial support. We need to give financial support. And I might just add here, it's not in my notes, but I think sometimes we have to be reminded that the expenses of the church go on. That they don't stop for a COVID pandemic. They don't stop because the weather's been above 90 degrees for so long. No, if your electric bill went up, guess what? Your electric bill down here at the church building went up too. Your water bill went up. We've got commitments that are made to missions. Brother Stephen could talk about every one of them. We have commitments that we've made to missions around the world. And those commitments go on. So we need to keep that in mind when we purpose in our hearts every week as to what we're going to give. Our contributions have been a little low lately. So we need to think about that. We need to give our financial support to the church. Are you recommending or renouncing your religious beliefs because of the way that you support it? Number four, this is the last one. Are you recommending or renouncing your religious beliefs by the way it works for you? Does your religious beliefs and practices give you something to hold on to when the storms of life come your way? And it's not an if, it's when. The storms always come our way, whether it's some crisis, maybe a serious illness, maybe a financial downturn, maybe the loss of a job, maybe just discouragement. When these things come our way, though, do your religious beliefs and practices, your church family, give you strength? I don't know how people get along without a church family. I don't know how they do it, but so many do. So many do. And our church family, I know you all agree with me, it gives us strength. We're strengthened when we come here on Sunday morning and we meet together and we talk together and we shake each other and we have these great hugs. It gives us strength. It encourages us in what we're trying to do. Someone has said, when the world is at its worst, the Christian must be at its best. Think about that. When the world is at its worst, the Christian must be at its best. I wasn't around in World War I. I wasn't around in World War II. I don't know really what was going on then. We were in a war. We were in a world war. But I can say this. The world we live in today looks pretty bleak to me. The church of our Lord is losing members, losing congregations. Wars going on by some tyrant in the Ukraine, where we have sister church congregations. By the way, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're worshiping there in the Ukraine. We see mistrust and disbelief in our government here in this country, and corruption. Things look pretty bad. But when the world is at its worst, Christians need to be at their best. Amen? Can we all believe that? We need to be at our very best when the world is at its worst. And friends, that time is now. Romans 8:28, we talk about this so much. And you know that all things work together for good. But you know something else you know in Romans 8:28. You know that all things work together for good only to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul writes, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance of it for every good work." What about your religious beliefs? Do you live for it? Would you die for it? You know, I've said before, in every Christian's life, there's got to be some hill that you're prepared to die on. I don't know if it's about abortion. I don't know if it's about salvation. I don't know if it's about your doctrinal beliefs. I don't know what it is. But there's got to be some hill that you will stand and defend to the death. Are you recommending or renouncing? Listen. You're writing a gospel every day by the things that you do and the words that you say. People read what you write, whether faithless or true. So what is the gospel according to you? What's the gospel that we're preaching to other people? I don't know, there might be someone here this morning who's outside of Christ or you're straight away. Maybe you thought you were recommending, but you found out this morning you're renouncing. You know, I don't think so, but maybe you know your heart better than I. You know what you're doing in your life. We're going to sing a song that says, "I am resolved. I've made a resolution." You know what a resolution is? It means this is cast in stone. This is something I'm going to do, and I am resolved no longer to linger. Tom's going to lead us in this song right now. I am resolved. If anybody is subject to this invitation, won't you come as we stand together and sing?